Braking? Braking?
Hello, Chair.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm fine. I'm driving. In case I'm disconnected, you'll have to appoint a chairperson.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we ready to start?
Let me just...
Not yet.
Then I'll change right now.
Eh? Okay, you come back.
Yeah. Chairperson?
Yes, Bratin.
I think we can start. We do have six members. We do form a quorum. We can start. Others will join us.
Can you scroll the agenda upwards? Yeah, it is fine now. Good morning, honorable members and our officials, and our officials from the agency and department. The purpose of today's meeting is to get briefing on performance reports of the department and its agents. So you're warmly welcome, honorable members, and our officials from the department, as well as our minister. The meeting is officially opened. Can we move to item 2, which is roll call and apologies breaking?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Chairperson, firstly, we'll start
recording
with the apologies
in progress.
Whereby we got an apology for the Deputy Minister, which they indicated that she is being hospitalized, so she won't be able to be part of the meeting. Secondly, we've got an apology from Honorable Zungula, who is with the PC on mineral resources. And then we also got an apology from Honorable Kruger, who is out in Northwest. He said maybe might be able to join on if he gets the chance. So those are the apologies that we have received, Chairperson. Then in the platform currently, we've got the you, we've got Honorable Jacobs, Honorable
agenda.
Chairperson.
Thank you.
I second that, Honorable Leni.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Leni. The agenda. Honorable Mieni seconded. The agenda is duly adopted. Thank you. Let us move now to the next item, which is briefing. I'm now inviting the leader from the department. To take us through. Over to you, Chairperson from CEDA.
Chairperson.
I think you can start with the minister because she is the leading the delegation. Chairperson, I think you can start with the minister because she is leading the delegation.
I thought the minister is not present. Sorry.
No, the
Honorable
apology.
Minister is from the DM. I told you that I'm driving.
Thank you so much.
Firstly, I would like also to acknowledge her presence. Over to you, Dali. You can do a political overview as the leader of the delegation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to greet the WIP, the members of the Portfolio Committee, our officials throughout the entire portfolio, and of course, greet everyone who is joining us virtually. Honorable Chair, as you have already spoken to the apology of the Deputy Minister of the Department who is sick and could not join us, I would like to also register that. In the delegation, we have the ADDG and the entities that report to ourselves. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I'm sure you have seen the census report of 2022 that was released yesterday by the Statistician General, which shows that government has made great progress over the past 10 years in terms of delivering services to the people of South Africa. Whilst we are saying this, Honourable Members, we are aware that on the economic front, the global economy remains volatile, with high inflation that is suppressing global consumption demand and the demand for commodities. This has kept our economy on a low growth trajectory that is not reducing unemployment nor inequality at the desired pace and level. To address this, Honorable Members, as government, we then agreed, as you will recall, that we must prioritize the development of the micro, small, and medium enterprises and cooperatives to accelerate growth, create jobs, and build a more inclusive economy. If I were to remind the Honourable Members of what the National Dividend Plan says in terms of the jobs that must be done under Chapter 4, creation of new 11 million jobs, of which by 2030, of which 90%, which is 9 million, should come from micro, small, and medium enterprises. As a portfolio, we had to rethink how to achieve this as the National Commission also released its own evaluation. At the center of it was positioning the department to play a more deliberate leadership and coordinating role across the broader SME ecosystem. To this end, Honourable Members, as we have reported to yourself, we have developed a third iteration small enterprise development strategy for our country, which you know as the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Strategy Framework. And already it was approved in November 2022. By cabinet. This is undoubtedly a highlight of the year under review, on the work that we've done, that is to really get a sector that is organized and give a more focused approach in the work that we are doing. We have developed the NISET in close collaboration with all key MSMEs and cooperatives stakeholders and launched it at our National SME and Cooperative Summit, which followed the inaugural Presidential SME and Cooperative Award. Honorable Chairperson, the 55% performance by the department at least measured against APP targets misrepresents the real work that we have been busy with as a portfolio. I can confidently stand before you and say that there is now consensus among all key SME stakeholders and among the cooperatives themselves about what needs to be done to support the entrepreneurs and the cooperatives to become drivers of inclusive growth and transformation. This, amongst others, includes tackling red tape. And you will see that in the year under review, we made progress in terms of reviewing the National Small Enterprise Act. Of course, we did report that we are also busy with the review of the Business Licensing Amendment Bill, which unfortunately will not be tabled to Parliament in this administration. Again, in the year under review, we have supported 25 municipalities to roll out the Red Tape Reduction Awareness Program and undertook research on the regulatory impediments facing SMEs. As a result, a list of legislations that cut across sector departments have been identified and submitted to Cabinet in order to have the responsible ministries and departments ensuring that those legislations are either repealed or amended. The second area stakeholders across the ecosystem are agreed on is the need to increase the MSME and cooperative participation in key markets and value chains. We are citing this, honorable members, because as I said, it was important that we really bring the entire sector instead of us just looking at the work that we do with the little budget that we have, both as government and as the department. Therefore, to have the ecosystem agreeing that all of us must play a meaningful role in opening up markets and unbundling value chains so that we can benefit the cooperatives is indeed something that we really appreciate. During the year under review, we've made progress in building an enterprise supplier development committee of practice, which was formally launched in June 2022. Again, this is meant to enhance the business development support because most of the SMEs that are not able to get access to markets, that are not able to have access to funding, it's because of the quality of the business development support that has been provided. Therefore, launching this, at least we believe that it will take us somewhere as we've had engagement with big business, small businesses, and of course, those that are involved in the enterprise supplier development work, in order to make sure that we can have standardized units that when we say a particular company or department is budgeting for ESG, what are the critical things, including when they hire ESG practitioners, what are the standard norms that one must have, just like you will find for chartered accountants, so that people can really have an understanding of the work that is meant to be driven under the ESG component, which is part of the CCC codes. As part of taking some products into the market, we have linked 281 SME products and services to domestic markets. It is important that we highlight this, honorable members, because again, SMEs have been complaining that they develop products, but they're not taken anywhere. We have managed to list 281 that have been sent. As I said, we have also submitted a list to National Treasury. We continue to engage the Minister responsible for Home Affairs in terms of identifying undesirable businesses that must not be given to foreigners or that must not be licensed to foreigners in our country. Thirdly, our stakeholders have agreed that we need to scale up business development services for SMEs and cooperatives, especially through incubation support. Through CEDA, we have surpassed the target that we have set in terms of establishing 100 incubators for this term, which is 2019 to 2024. Already we are sitting at 110. And during the year under review, we approved an additional 11 to be established in the financial year 2023-2024. Collectively, a total of 2,507 SMEs and startups were incubated during this year. Fourthly, we are agreed as the ecosystem that we need to urgently close the SME credit gap, which is estimated by the World Bank to be above 250 billion rand, with some estimates putting it closer to 500 billion rand. In response to this, honorable members, as you are aware, we developed an SME and cooperatives funding policy. We continue to bring partners on board in terms of funding. We're in a process of signing agreements with different funds, whether you talk about UIF, whether you talk about the National Skills Fund, whether you talk about the Automotive Transformation Fund, but we are trying to bring everyone on board to say there's a need for us to work together and be able to give effect even on that policy that we're talking about in terms of the establishment of the funding fund. We believe that will really reduce the credit gap. We have already gathered this in April. It looks at ways to increase credit allocation to SMEs and cooperatives and de-risk in bank lending to SMEs, whilst we are improving credit information systems to support poor borrowers, as well as developing a movable collateral registry, which previously is something, or currently is something, that most small and medium enterprises and cooperatives are not able to access. Because now you can have a number of cattle in your space that is not registered or recognized when you're going to open an account if you are coming from the rural areas, including some of the... During this year, 2022-23 financial year, CIFA approved loans to the value of 1.706 billion rand and dispersed 2.4 billion rand to SMEs and cooperatives. Over the same period, CIFA was able to impact 74,762 SMEs, that in turn helped facilitate and retain 104,547 jobs. I'm highlighting those numbers, honourable members, because the honourable members must always remember when they look at the work that we do and the impact, that this is a department that only has a budget of 2 billion rand, which caters for administrative support to all the employees that we have, the traveling and everything, including the support that must be given to SMEs. Therefore, at all times, the monitoring or the oversight must take that into consideration. It is a tiny drop in the ocean because we now account for what the department gets. We are in a process of developing a framework that must make sure that all stakeholders, both national departments, province and local government, including the private sector, must be able to account for the contribution that is being made to small businesses, so that when we give account, it is a country-wide account. With regards to our core programs, we surpassed targets for our cooperative support. 321 cooperatives were supported financially and others non-financially, against a target that we set for ourselves, which was 200. And for the number of competitive SMEs and cooperatives supported, which was 24,184 enterprises against a target of 25,000. We had reached 94% of the target for township and rural entrepreneurship program, which most members and entrepreneurs have been complaining about. We have supported 18,759 enterprises during 2022-2023 against a target of 20,000. We believe there's room for improvement, and we have since developed a service delivery improvement plan for this area of work to ensure that we reach 100%. As we're complaining about the budget, it also means that we must do everything in our power to ensure that we spend and meet all the targets that we set for ourselves where necessary or possible. We reached 90% of targets for startup youth businesses. We've supported 8,988 against a target of 10,000. We are putting measures in place again to ensure targets are met for this year. The Acting Director General will provide more information on where we missed the target and what we are doing to address that. The fifth area where we agreed as an ecosystem concerns our capacity and capability as the department. There's no doubt that as a portfolio, we're making interventions at scale, but much more needs to be done to support entrepreneurs and SMEs that are increasingly challenged by high inflation and market volatility. I'm pleased to once more confirm that our department has received an unqualified without material findings audit outcome on both non-financial performance information and annual financial statements for 2022-2023 financial year. You will recall that this was also the case in the previous financial year. Ours, this time, is to say we're not just about compliance in terms of getting those audits, but it is important that we look at the impact that our interventions are making to the entrepreneurs that we have. At the same time, honourable members, we are cognizant of our challenges as the department. We are in a process of filling in posts in line with our new approved organogram, of course, taking into consideration the recent gazetted letter by National Treasury, but we are aligned. We are also tightening accountability to improve performance in order to make sure that all our targets are smart and therefore all our employees are performing against the targets that have been set and consequences be taken where failure shows. The other major piece of work we've been busy with under the past year is the integration of CIFA and the Cooperative Development Bank Agency into CEDA, which will therefore form a new agency called the Small Enterprise Development and Finance Agency. During the year under review, the business case was approved by Cabinet and the amended National Small Enterprise Act, which is before yourself and the program are still in terms of preparing for the public hearing. And this is a step in the right direction because for us to create a conducive environment for the sector we're responsible for, legislation is a critical component to it. We are not happy that the Businesses Act has not managed to serve under this administration, but we remain hopeful that it will be prioritized for the next administration. Let me express my gratitude to Deputy Minister Dipo Pukas, who is not with us here today because of what I stated earlier. I would also like to thank the Acting Director General, Ms. Tulisile Manzini, and the entire portfolio staff for their commitment. A special word of appreciation goes to yourselves, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, for your constructive criticism and guidance. I would also like to thank the leadership of CEDA and CIFA, and thank most importantly, Mr. Lundo Kuhlen Khumane, the former Director General of the Department, who led the Department during this year under review. Honourable Chairperson, I would like to hand over to the Acting Director General with your permission if she were to focus on the areas that I highlighted where we have not done well and include the remedial actions that we are taking to address those concerns. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for a detailed political overview. We are impressed. And we are so thankful for the cooperation we have received throughout the term, most especially on the targets, because yesterday we were briefed by the Auditor General, and we are happy that you are maintaining the status quo, although there have been some regression on the side of CIFA, but we understood the explanation as well as the recommendation by the AG, and we trust and believe that as a leader with your team, you will address all of them. Thank you so much. I believe honorable members during deliberation, they will be allowed to can echo on what you have just uttered. Thank you so much, honorable minister. I will now invite the acting DG, Ngomanzini. The stage is yours, my sister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members. Good morning, Minister. And I will request the colleagues to flight the presentation, and I will close the camera. I just wanted to show my face that I'm here. Thank you. Winston?
DJ, I don't have the right to share my screen.
Ibrahim, can you assist in this regard, please?
To whom should I send the right, DJ?
Winston, W. Pagis.
Sorry. There you are.
You can give to me, Prakash.
I've already given to you. Okay, I can also give it to you.
PG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's our presentation, like Minister has said. I will not be going to it through line by line. And please put it on slideshow, Winston. Please move to the next slide. This slide just talk about the presentation outline. And I will not dwell much into it. It's straightforward. Let's go back. Next slide, please. The purpose of this presentation today is just to brief the Portfolio Committee on small business development on the 2022-2023 annual report of the department. The next slide, please. This particular slide just talk about the briefly about the background, which also Minister touched on, and also that the annual reports, the integral part of our national and provincial department reporting, and also that Section 41D of the PFMA requires accounting officers of department to submit within 5 months this particular report at the end of the financial year. Of main importance in this particular slide is that as a department, we complied, we submitted our draft 2022-2023 annual report on the AFS that we submitted to HESA on the 31st of May 2023. And the audit process was also finalized on the 15th of August 2023. And the audited financial and non-financial performance information was submitted to the Minister on the 31st of August 2023, and also National Treasury. And again, that the approved annual report was tabled in Parliament on the 29th of September 2023. Again, on the background, I will not dwell again too much on this one. This just talks to the legislative and regulatory requirements that we are expected to comply with. Next slide, please. And again, on the strategic overview, this talks to our mandate, the mandate of the department, the mission and the vision, and the mandate, which is fairly known to all of us, that it is to lead and coordinate an integrated approach to the promotion and development of entrepreneurship, small, micro, and medium enterprises and cooperatives to ensure an enabling legislative and policy environment to support their growth and sustainability. Let's proceed. And this is our strategic overview. This talks about our values as a department. I will not get into the actual values and read the bullets, but the top part, innovation, integrity, professionalism, customer-centric, commitment, caring organization. On the, it's too small, because it is not on slideshow. Winston, I'm struggling. On the strategic overview, again, it's what I've been talking about. I will not again dwell too much on this particular slide. Talk about our legislative policy and where our mandate and primary output. Let's proceed so that we can get to the areas the minister spoke about. Can we proceed? This slide is not important. Thank you very much. On the organizational structure, again, is that at high level that the EA approved the organizational structure on the 1st of September 2022. We already have the structure and the issue of the department started with the issue of the matching and placement process started immediately. And the matching and process was guided by the approved framework, which is aligned to the migration process guideline of the Department of Public Service Commission. And there were two matching and placement structures that were established, which is the placement committee chaired by the chief director, corporate services, and it has all the representatives from the branches and also our unions. And there was also an appeals process. Let's proceed. The overall performance of the department, we were set out to achieve 25 annual performance indicators and targets over the reporting period under review. And we had 14, which came up to 56% of the planned targets were achieved. 11 of the planned targets were not achieved, and that accounted for 44%, as Minister illustrated in terms of the percentage of 56%. Let's proceed. And again, on this slide that we have on the screen, it's actually branched. Like I've said, in administration, we had 10 indicators, annual targets 10, we achieved 6, and 4 were not achieved, and the 4 not achieved counted for 40%, and those that were achieved counted for 60%. And in program 2, the sector policy and research, it was 6 targets, annual targets, achieved 2, which accounted for 33%, not achieved 67%, which is 4. Integrated cooperatives development, we had 6. Achieved 3, which was 50%, not achieved 3, accounted for 50%. Enterprise development, 3, and 3 achieved, and also a 0 not achieved. This is a performance summary for over the years, how the organization has performed from 2019 to 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023. And if we look at this particular one, we see that in 1920, we were at 67%. 2021, we did very well at 86%, regressed 2021, 2022 to 60, and we regressed again now at 56%. The performance highlights, the department, we received an unqualified audit opinion with no findings for the 2023 financial year. So we have a what we call a clean audit. That we also were able to pay all our valid creditors 100% under 30 days. The organization, all in all, we received 11,044 invoices worth 63 million, and we're able, on an average of 7 days, we're able to pay. And the department, we also had a 0.5% expenditure variance on our annual budget, and the expenditure of 2.5 billion of the 2.5 billion of the allocated resources. And we, as a department, we also didn't have any fruitless and wasteful expenditure which was incurred during the period under review. On representation, we have a representation of 51.5% in respect of women and at SMS, which is above the public service standard of 50%. Again, we have also a 3.3 representation of persons with disabilities as at 31 March 2023. And again, in partnership with our agencies, which is CEDA and CIFA, we're able to implement 135 public engagement programs with district municipalities. Proceed. The department continued to implement our SMME's focus localization policy framework that was adopted by Cabinet during the course of 2020-21 financial year. And that translated to a total of 281 products were produced and service rendered by SMMEs and cooperatives were linked to domestic market. And again, through the SEMP, which is a Small Enterprise Manufacturing Support Program, which aims to contribute to South Africa's localization strategy, I am glad to report that as of the 31st of March 2023, approvals concluded amounted to 832.6 million to 85 SMMEs, and that facilitated about 5,056 jobs. And this, since this program started approving transactions on 18 September 2020, over the same period, 548 million was dispersed to 74 SMMEs. Again, there were two progress reports on the review of the business amendment bill, and proposed changes were approved by EXCO. And the portfolio, DSP portfolio mainstreaming strategy for the GEYODI was approved by EXCO on the 27th of March, 2023. And also we facilitated the presentation of women economic empowerment priorities and expectations through the BRICS Women Business Alliance. Another highlight is that during this 2022-2023 financial year, the department were able to develop the consolidated progress report on the finalization of the SMMEs and cooperative funding policy, and the funding policy was approved by Cabinet in March 2023. This policy was gazetted in April 2023 for public comment for a period of 30 days. Again, we had a total of 18,759 township and rural enterprises were supported against the 20,000 set annual target, and Minister already touched on this one. The department and its entities, we supported 321 cooperatives financially and again non-financially, some or all of them. And the department and its entities, we have supported 8,980 startups, youth businesses that we supported financially and or non-financially against the 10,000 asset target. And again, Minister in the opening statement also touched on this target. And also on the crafters, we supported 659 against the set target of 900 and at a budget amount of 35.5 million. And the competitive SMME and cooperatives are those SMME and cooperatives supported financially and non-financially, like I said, with the ability to create or sustain jobs. And on that, a total of 28,484 competitive SMMEs and cooperatives were supported by the 31st of March, 2023. To amplify the efforts and to reduce regulatory burdens on small enterprises, the Department of Small Business Development, we set out an annual target to assist about 20 municipalities to roll out the Red Tape Reduction Awareness Program. And in doing so, a total of 25 municipalities were assisted. And in terms of breakdown, the 14 in Limpopo, 6 in Northwest, and 5 in the Eastern Cape, and also to roll out this program by the 31st of March 2023. Again, an assessment review report of the SMME regulatory impediments to reform approved by EFSCO was successfully achieved. And we also, during this period, the department, we also implemented the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Master Plan framework through the advocacy of the NISED framework. Upon the approval of this strategy by Cabinet, there was successful hosting of the National Presidential SMME and Cooperative Summit 2022. From 13 to 15 November 2022, which included the inaugural SMME and Cooperative Award, Minister spoke about, and this was officially launched by the Minister. And on the 17th of February, the NISED Strategic Framework was officially published in the Gazette. Again, we have areas of under performance, hence we have the 56%, and what led us to have the 56%, one, it was the issue of the underachievement. It was on the issue of the vacancy rate because we are currently busy with the filling of the position, but there is a slide that talks to all these issues, how we are addressing them. I'll just mention them here so that I don't waste too much time because I'll be talking about them as to how we are addressing them. And also the underrepresentation or underachievement on the people with disabilities against the target of the 4.2. And again, we also didn't do well on the SMME business index system that we have developed and tested, but it was not implemented. And also it was not rolled out at the end of the reporting period. And again, on we also have a phase five SMME database. And this is a database for small enterprises credit scoring and rating system to facilitate access to finance implementation. And again, this was not implemented against during this particular period. We also didn't do well. We set a target of 2,500 women-owned businesses that we're supposed to support, but we're only able to support about 1,202 businesses that we supported to register on the international platform. And of the 250 SMMEs and cooperatives linked to global markets, we were able to have 68 SMMEs that were linked to global market opportunities. So again, here, we left behind in terms of the target, and we had to put up the catch-up plan. The next one. We were supposed to, on business infrastructure for SMMEs and cooperative refurbished, we're supposed to do 6, and we only managed to do 2. And on the monitoring report of the ISP improvement plan, not approved by EXCO against a target of 2 monitoring reports of the ISP, this was not achieved. And we had set ourselves for 20,000 township and rural enterprises that we're supposed to support financially and non-financially, and we just missed the mark. We did 18,759. And of the crafters, like I said, instead of 900, it was 659. And of the startup for the youth business, we set ourselves a target of 10,000 for the reporting period, but we were able to go just below 10,000, and we managed to do 8,988. And based on what I have just presented, like I said, to say what exactly then we're going to do with this particular information. One, on the issue of the vacancy rate of the funded position, we are vigorously implementing this by making sure that we are filling position. You might have seen, honorable members, we are advertising, we are filling positions. We have just, appointed 2 DDGs. We also have just recently also appointed the lady started the CD funding. And also there are other positions. We also have the head of supply chain, all of this position at SMS level, and they will assist us to be able to deal with all these issues of under performance or under achievement in terms of this specific target. On the representation of the people with disabilities, we have developed to be we have developed this recruitment strategy to address this particular challenge, and we have earmarked the positions. Specific positions earmarked for this target market, and we will also make sure that we also advertise on the relevant bulletins of people that we are targeting. And on the phase four, the SMME database that I spoke about, the business index to identify level of readiness and capability of small enterprises. This again, the system was developed and it was tested. But again, like I said, it was not implemented or it was not rolled out at the end of the reporting period. And what are we doing about it? We are going to roll out the implementation of the system once all the functionality matters have been finalized, because there were functionality areas that we were still grappling with. And the system will be rolled out during quarter two of 2023 and 2024 financial year. And on the phase five, SMME database for a small enterprise credit scoring and rating system that I spoke about, that we need, that will assist to facilitate the access to the finance. It was not implemented. And again, what we're going to do about it, upon the payment advance, the development and release of the phase will then be completed. Of the 2,500 women-owned businesses supported to register on international platform, CEDA, which has wider reach through their regional offices, will be implementing this particular target from 2023-2024 financial year, assisting us. The one on the 250 SMME and cooperatives, which was not achieved, we only achieved 68. What we're going to do is to identify and establish additional partnership for us to be able to reach this particular goal. And of the six business infrastructure that we only did two, we needed to appoint have our own quantity surveyor and professional architect, which were due to join the department, but they've already joined the department. Let's proceed. On the two monitoring reports, we are tracking these particular activities, and we have in close engagement with the service provider to ensure that the study is completed on time and it is not delayed any further. On the issue of the township and rural, the 20,000 target vis-a-vis the 18,759 that we have achieved, how we're going to overcome this is that there will be realignment of the delivery approach by CIFA and CEDA on the TREP through the blend use of ecosystem facilitation model of the DDM by the department portfolio. This will assist us to make sure that we reach this particular target and beyond. Of the 900 crafters, and we only did 659, we have intensified awareness programs, which will be rolled out during 2023-2024 financial year in order to increase the uptake, because we realized in this particular instance that the problem was the issue of the awareness. And once that is addressed, and we are currently addressing it, we'll see the number going up. On the issue of the 10,000 startup youth businesses, again here, what we're going to do to make sure that we reach the target and beyond, it is to support clients to submit quality applications together with also a valid business plans, because that also becomes very key, and it was identified. That's why it's going to be easy for us to deal with it, because we have identified that there is a challenge there in terms of the quality of the applications and also the valid business plans. And once that has been taken care of, we will be able to reach this particular number and beyond. Let's proceed. At a high level on governance, I will read sentence by sentence, is that under risk management, the department, we have an approved risk management policy and strategy in place. And again, we also comply in terms of ethics management in the department. And we also have ethics officers, and we have submitted as such to the Department of Public Service and Administration, and we are complying. and on fraud and corruption. The department, we reviewed and approved our fraud prevention, anti-corruption and whistleblowing and implementation policy. And we also established a facility to report such, and the number is there on the screen. Let's proceed. And also on the issue of minimizing conflict of interest, because in this space where we are, there are a lot of chances of us having issue to deal with the issue of the conflict of interest, although the ethics officers, they work tirelessly to make sure that we comply with the department. From the FCM perspective, the conflict of interest, we manage it through the checking of the directors of companies at the CIPC, and also the DPSA personal verification portal. And also we are able then, when we have identified a conflict, that the relevant companies are then disqualified from the process. And also that the companies that are identified to have a conflict of interest are advised to respond to the alleged conflict and also to provide a proof. And also on the, and then if they are found wanting, or we have proof, then or if they don't submit, they are then disqualified. And on the issue of the code of conduct, again, we adhere to the public service code of conduct. Let's proceed. On the health and safety of the environment, we do have the health and safety officers to make sure that our environment is safe at all times, and we do have OHS officers. And also on parliamentary committees, we see that and CIFA, we are able to always comply by making sure that we always appear like we are appearing now. The next one, please. And on internal control, we do not have an internal control unit due to lack of funding, but the internal control are implemented are based on mainly complying with existing and relevant prescripts, and we make sure that it is embedded in the work that is being done. So when it comes to internal controls, we are able to, we do not have a problem, hence the issue of the clean code audit, because the issue of internal control is plays an important role. And also in internal audit and audit committees, we do have these committees in place, and they do meet as expected. Let's proceed. And on the audit and risk committee report, and the new finding, the ARC will continue to ensure that corrective action on the reports of findings by the AGSA are reviewed, and significant progress is made on the implementation. And also on the triple BEE compliance report with the, our department, we have actually complied with the section that is on the screen, and also yes, we were able to comply accordingly. Let's proceed. And on human resources, especially on the issue of employment and vacancies per band, the total number of posts on the approved establishment is 210. Number of filled posts is 189. The vacancy rate is at 10%, and we also have a employees that are additional to the establishment, we do have a 20, and per program, and below it shows that where is the spread, and most of them are in administration with 97, followed by 30 at sector and market and development finance 51, enterprise development 32, but actual field is 93, 23, 46, and 27. And again, vacancy rate, like I said, is at 10%. And we are working very hard, like I said, to make sure that we deal with this. And the issue of the personnel expenditure, we have this total budget of 2.5 billion. And the total, then the personnel expenditure, we have used 144 million, which also accounts, it accounts to personnel expenditure. It comes up to 5.7%, but the CFO will touch at length or comprehensively on the issue of the budget and how it is spread. Please proceed. The vacancy rate, again, I will not touch again. At SMS level that we manage as a department, I must say that during the reporting period when we continue to the issue of matching and placing on the approved structure. This allowed for a significant decrease in the vacancy rate. The vacancy rate was 16.2% and we were able to move to 20%. But again, the high vacancy rate of 20% at SMS remained a concern. At the start of the reporting period, I must report that we were below the target of 50% in senior management. We were at 47%, but we were able to then move below, even above the national target of 50%. We moved to 51.5. I already said that. Proceed. A person with disabilities, again here, I have said that under the reporting period, we were at 3.3%. And we are working very hard because this was one of the issues that put us in trouble again with the Commission for Gender Equality, and we are working very hard on that to remedy the situation. Let's proceed. On the financial performance report, the CFO will quickly take us in less than a minute. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Through you, Chair, CFO.
Thank you.
Thank you, DG. CFO, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister DG and colleagues from the SBD portfolio. I'm going to take you through the financial performance for the year. For the financial year under review, the department managed to spend 99.3% of the allocation, which resulted in a variance of 0.7%, which is 18.9 million for the year. Next slide, please. On this slide, this shows the overall budget spend per program, and then for program one, which is administration, it was allocated 117.6 million. We managed to spend 109.6, and we do have a variance of 8 million. Program 2, we allocated 120.7 million, and then at the end of the year, we had a variance of 4 million. Program 3, it was allocated 1.318 billion. We managed to spend 1.315 with a variance of 3.2 million. And then lastly, program 4, at the end of the financial year, we had a variance of 3.7 million. Next slide, please. On this slide, just provide the reasons for variance for the variances that I've indicated on the previous slide. And then for program 1, there was a total variance of 5.1, which is slightly on capital expenditure, as we had ordered vehicles during the year. But due to delays in production, those vehicles were only received in the current financial year. For program 2, the under expenditure was likely due to vacancies, as well as program 4, it was due to vacancies. And then program 3, we did have two programs which were delayed during the year, which one was under the CRAFT CFP, and the other one was in the CDSP, or the Cooperative Development Support Program. Next slide, please. This is the performance per economic classification. Since this is just a graphical representation, so I will skip the slide and move to slide 45, which has more details. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. For compensation of employees, we managed to spend 140. Yes, thank you. For compensation of employees, we managed to spend 144.4 million, which is 90.9% of the total allocation. The variance for the year is 14.4 million or 9.1%. And as the DG has already indicated, it was likely due to vacancies. And then for goods and services, we were allocated a budget of 92.9 million. And at the end of the year, we had variance of 1.3 million, of which the contributing item was operating payments, IMET, as well as travel. And then on capital assets, I had already spoken to this. It's likely due to the vehicles that we did not receive. And then on transfers, we were allocated 2.271 2.271 billion, and we almost spent 100% of that, which is 99.98%. And the reason why we could not spend all of it, it was due to the two.
You are fading, CEO. I don't know whether it's from my side, but I can't hear you.
I will move closer to my laptop. Apologies, Chair. Next slide, please. This slide here, we are talking to unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. So unauthorized expenditure, we had no case for the year. And then when it comes to irregular expenditure at the end of the financial year, we had two cases totaling to 656,216.20. Those two cases, the first one was on a contract which was allocated to a consulting firm under the product market. And then on review, that contract was found to be short in when it comes to the requirements of Treasury Regulation 16A. And then as a result, we had to cancel the contract. The total amount of the contract was 3.8 million. And then by the time we cancelled the contract, we had already incurred expenditure amounting to 654,000. And then the second one was the services rendered without an order. This was for HRM for background checks, and the expenditure was 1,808. And then when it comes to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we did not have any case at the end of the year. Next slide, please. My second slide, or my second last slide, talks to the progress of the audit findings which were raised in the 2021-2022. So in total, say, we had 10 findings which were raised in 2021-22. And then at the end of the year, when the AGSA conducted the regulatory audit, they confirmed that they were satisfied with the progress made with these findings. And then out of the 10, there was only two repeat findings, which was on key management personnel and contingent liability. Let's move to my last slide. And then on this slide, these are the new audit findings which were raised during the 2022-23 financial year. As I have already indicated, we had two repeat findings, which means that totally new findings for the year are five, of which three are talking to the same target, which is the sheet trades. And then the second one is on the non-compliance when it comes to the requirements of triple BEE. And then lastly, we did have a transaction. It was an accounting error on cash and cash equivalent, where there was an amount which was not disclosed correctly on the financial statement. This was since fixed before the final audit. Thank you, Chair. Back to you, Didi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and also thank you very much, committee members. The next slides just talk to the summary of PEP branch, which I'm not going to talk to because everything was discussed. I presented it. So this will be the end of our presentation. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, DG. Brakin, can you go back to our agenda?
Can you see it, Chair?
No, no, nothing.
But it's supposed to be Sida, Chair. I don't know what has happened with my...
Yes. Okay, let me invite the chairperson from Sida to take us through.
Chairperson, thank you, Chair. This is Tembingosi Bonakele, the Chair of CEDA. We are presenting the annual report, and it will be presented by the CEO. And if, with your permission, I could hand over to him.
Do so.
Please, CEO.
CEO.
Thank you, sir. Hi, hello, sir. Am I audible?
Sorry, Honor, Mr.
You are audible, but there's nothing on the screen.
It's supposed to be Sida.
Yes.
And then please stay with us in the screen, Chair.
Okay. The previous speaker is my chairperson of CIFA, but I understand that CIDA is going through before us. Chairperson, yes. My friend. Okay, let me stand down then, sir.
Come again. Who's presenting now? Is it CIDA or CIFA?
Chairperson, I think because the chairperson of CIFA has already started, CIFA can proceed.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, Chair. Thank you, Prakin. If you may allow me to actually share. I'm told it's my time, but not the Imbizo one.
Not Imbizo.
No, not Imbizo. Let's use Mtolis MD on the platform.
Okay, searching for him. There you are.
All right, thank you, Rakim. Let me share and minimize it. Come on. Thank you, Chair and members. I hope my presentation is visible. Let me just change it to slide presentation. So I think before I zoom into the presentation, I just wanted to give a quick background on the performance of CIFA and also the issues around the two findings that actually tended a bit our clean audit, but we're still unqualified since inception as an entity. One of the issues I wanted to say is that over the MTSF period 2019-2020, we've dispersed about 7.7 billion as an entity to 298,000 SMEs, of which a majority of them are informal and micro enterprises located in township and rural areas. Our performance indicates that year on year, we're able to improve our disbursements into the economy, with a cumulative rent disbursement into the economy with to the tune of 24% increase, that is from 2019 to 2023. So our disbursements from 2019 have increased by 24% share to the economy. With regards to the payments share and the impairments, our clients are struggling, and we saw this decline in October, November last year, when our collections rates dropped from around 75 down to 35 and 40. And this is during the height of load shedding, where our clients were really struggling to operate, and they lost production time. That impacted on the performance of our clients. Because if you look over the past 3 years, we were doing pretty well. But when load shedding worsened, the collections became a problem. Hence, we're talking now about giving our clients a restructured facility. So where we extend the repayments, not just give them a payment holiday, because that will also impact on our collections. That we'd rather offer our clients a reduced what we call payment and extend the period to assist them. So the if you look even in the economy, I mean, I was reading one article some time back that Capitec, their impairments increased by 68%. And if you look at us, even though we're financing business, ours increased around about 5% over this period. So the economy is really not doing well. And our SMEs are in the front line, actually, of being hit hard by these negatives in the economy. But the past financial year has been the toughest for the entity. But if you look back, we've been doing pretty well under the circumstances. Then, Chair, even though we still have an unqualified audit as per our records, there were two findings that the auditors highlighted. And these really are issues that relate to administrative and professional interpretation of how certain things can be treated. One of those was the costs. We have a company that holds our property portfolio called Kula Business Premises. Kula Business Premises is not making enough revenues yet because of the rent boycott by a majority of our township-based tenants. The board took a decision that would provide financial support in terms of operational costs and repairs and maintenance of our properties to KBP. This allocation, Chair, is reflected in our budget, annual budget every year, where the board takes a resolution to approve the budget. These costs, as I said, Chair, they cover your operating costs, your repairs and maintenance, the staff salaries of KBP. The auditors that were auditing us until the end of last year did not have a problem with this treatment. But the new auditor said, beyond the board resolution, we need now to go to the AGM also to have a special resolution in that regard, in compliance with the Companies Act. So it's a new thing that the new auditor said, we need to go beyond just the board resolution, but let's escalate the AGM. And that's what we're going to do. And it doesn't mean Jefferson Iman was lost. The money was allocated to KPP, as was still allocated to the money, allocating the funds to KPP to finance the operations until they're able to collect rental. The second one of these findings is again another issue of the interpretation by the professionals. This is now the calculation and the calibration of the expected credit loss. That's the Paulian Care. The service provider who assists us in this regard in the calibration of the credit loss, Experian was of the view when the auditors came that we need to start from zero to recalibrate. But our actuaries and even our auditors and the IDC team were saying, no, we can use the current available information and recalibrate the future, what were onward looking numbers in the model, which is looking at your macroeconomic issues going forward. And now the issue was that a debate between our service providers, ourselves, and the auditors delayed the submission. We submitted the original number, but after reworking the AECL, we had to then resubmit to the auditors, hence that finding. Otherwise, the rest of the performance of the organization is still on track with regards to, one, our performance information is unqualified, and also our financial information is unqualified. I just wanted to clarify those two things, because the AG yesterday spoke about the issue of a decline in that regard, but it's a really a technical issues that we believe, as we get to know each other with the auditors that I knew, we'll be able to deal with those issues. Then, Chair, I won't bother the committee with the presentation outline. Yeah, I'll just zoom into now this thing is frozen. That's the mission. The slide is frozen. Okay. Chair, I won't bother the committee with the vision, mission, and values. They have not changed. They still as they are in the interest of time. And these are the policies and legislation that inform our work and also looking at our operating context. This is a group structure where we have our subsidiaries, one of them being Kula Credit Guarantee, another one being the Kula Properties business, which is the one that I spoke about. And then is Kula Institutional Services, the IDF, and the JVs are your Anglo-America, CIFA Mining Fund, CytoBix, CIFA Way 2 Fund, and Associates is Business Partners, where we hold equity of about 22%, and UTO Fund, where we have about 49%. The joint operations is CIFA Mutala Green Fund, where we hold about 50%. And the operating model, Chair, is the same. We do our work through direct lending via our regional offices, wholesale lending and partner institutions, credit guarantee under KCG, fund management and ancillary services, property management stated earlier. Here, this is what we present every quarter, which is the geographic spread of our presence at CIFA. The red ones, Chair, are where CIFA actually is our offices, and then the green ones, which is about 40 of them, are co-locations with CEDA, sometimes IDC in that regard. The highlights, Chair, over the past financial year, which ended March, the total size of our book was 4.2 billion. And we approved around 1.7 billion, as the minister said earlier on, and our disbursements, which is the actual money that was deployed in the economy, was 2.4 billion. The number of SMEs, Chair, that we supported over this period was 75,000 SMEs, and also the jobs facilitated were 105,000 over the year. The money that went to Black-owned businesses was 2 billion, of which 551 million went to youth-owned businesses, 928 million went to women-owned businesses, with 545 million going to township-based enterprises, and 953, which is quite a good number if you ask me, went to rural-based enterprises. This now speaks to the same numbers I spoke about, your disbursements and your approvals and the jobs. I won't repeat that because it really is a duplication of that. And the Black-owned amount that went to Black-owned businesses. Maybe what I can highlight is that on with regards to your approvals, we achieved 76%. Here and Chair, we slowed down lending and approvals because of the cash flow challenges that we're facing as an entity. Needed to have enough cash to approve and commit. And we had to slow down those approvals. But with the disbursements that we did were 121%, and the SME finance was 88% achievement, and jobs was 100% achievement against our targets. Black-owned businesses, we achieved 149% against our targets. Women-owned, we achieved 116%, and youth-owned, we slightly missed the target at 92%. And the challenging area of disabled people will achieve about 26%, which is something that we're going to be working on with CEDA and the department and see how we address this gap. Township-owned businesses, we achieved 109% of disbursements. With rural enterprises, we achieved 119% of disbursement. This one, Chair, now speaks to our collections rate. Our target was really to hit 87% of collections, but we only managed to get about 74%, which gave us that 85% achievement. And that also resulted in the increase in our impairments, where the target was 38% and we ended up at 45%, hence the 85% target. And also that will speak to your portfolio at risk. This one looks at all the clients that are 60 plus one day behind in their payments. They were hoping to contain that one at 42%, but it ended up being 49%, hence the 86% achievement. But the blended first default rate was 6%. We achieved 6%. This is where, Chair, the client that has been funded misses the very first installment, and there at least we're able to contain it in that regard. So the collections rate really is a direct, result of what I spoke to earlier. That if our clients are, instead of operating under this load shedding era, for 8.5 hours a day, they are forced to operate for 4 hours and sometimes 3 hours, their productivity drops. And when their productivity drops, it means that their ability to generate profits and revenues also drops. And by extension, their ability to finance or to pay back CIFA or meet their financial obligations worsened. This is a true reflection of that chairperson and members. For example, we visited a client in the Eastern Cape that manufactures black plastic bags that they supply to the municipalities. When you got there, chairperson, we arrived with the board at the time when there was this load shedding. And this guy, we financed him with a generator. But when you've got there, they were not operating, the generator was off. And we asked him, why are you not using the generator to operate? And this CIFA client told us that if I use this generator for more than an hour, I'm burning cash because the diesel has become too expensive for me to afford. It is better for me to rather lose time and wait for electricity to come back and start operating. That is the impact, say, that the load shedding has on our people. Because those machines, the extrusion machines that he uses, they are heavy users of power. You can't use solar in that regard. You need base load or the generator. But the fuel prices actually are becoming a disincentive for them to continue operating under those environments. So then again, stay with me, Chair. I need to. Okay. And now, the collections rate, Chair, is reflected there. For the year ended 31st March, we plan to collect at least at 87% for our all installments raised, but we ended up at 74.3% for these reasons that I've mentioned, Chairperson, are beyond our control. Your load shedding, the high interest rates, the poor performance of the employment, et cetera. What we then plan to do, Chair, to assist our clients. One of the interventions, Chair, that we want to put in place is to offer our clients restructured repayment terms, whereby we extend the period of repayments so that at least they are able to breathe. Because we don't know when will this load shedding end. And as such, it hits our clients directly. And the best way then to assist them is if we can restructure their debt and extend the repayment period. It may actually necessitate that we even relook at the interest charge, because when you restructure the debt, the interest over time that is paid by the client is also another disincentive. But we'll be investigating those interventions so that we can assist our clients not to collapse at least. As I spoke to the key highlights, the unqualified audit, we have still have an unqualified audit since the inception of the organization, except for those two technical issues. That to us are issues that we have addressed already, and it's a matter that will align with the auditors. And we are a going concern. We managed to contain our cost income ratios. We had a plan of containing our cost to income at 87%, but we were really, really strict, managed to contain them at 6%. The regular and fruitless expenditure, we have zero of that as CIFA. And yes, we have a challenge of the operating loss, because if your impairments keep on increasing because your clients are not paying you, it will have a direct impact on your operating income or loss. Hence, we say the recovery date of impairments is a serious, serious challenge for us. But we will not throw our hands in the air. We'll continue coming up with creative ways to contain those impairments. Critical issue is to ensure that our clients continue operating under this time, what we call test conditions. Our income increased by actually 41% compared to the previous year, but our expenses also increased slightly. The loss for profit also worsened compared to the previous year by 24%. However, our total assets increased by 12%, and liabilities also increased slightly by 15%. The net asset value also increased by 15%. And cash from operations was reduced by 26%. As you know, that our interest income and other revenues were actually declining because of these clients who are unable to service debt. But the cash from investing activity increased by 4%, and our cash from financing activity 2%, and the cash balance at the end of the year was increased by 20%. Key insights said to this performance, other interest and increased, Chair, by 87 million in the current financial year. I think also it was also influenced by the high interest rates on our investments, and the grant income allocated was higher than anticipated in certain areas at 2.280 million. The expenses increased due to the increase in property expenses because we do a lot of repairs and maintenance to get our properties under care for purpose. The personnel costs and SARS penalty reversals of 147 million. The cost containment measures resulted in that cost income ratio of 60% against the target of 87%, which really is a good performance. So it's not even 10% actually, it's about 20% improvement. Loans, advances, and payments. The gross loans and advances increased by 677 million to 3.3 billion at year end as a result of the growth in disbursements in the loan portfolio. The impairments, write-offs, and bad debt provision on loans and advances have increased by a net of about 594 due to declining collection rates, as I said earlier on. Small business continues to find their cash flows under pressure due to the rising inflation, the operating costs. At year end, the impairment provision was sitting at around 1.68 billion compared to previous year of 1.1 billion as a result of these factors. Looking at credit granting and collections, we introduced initiatives to improve quality of the loan book collections to reduce impairments. One, by capacitating our post-investment monitoring unit and fully embedding pre-investment activities, strengthening our deal-making and credit, and also leveraging on key strategic partnerships. But those areas where you need good quality skills, particularly on your credit analysis, deal-making, your CAs, and your quants also in credit space. And we've lost a couple of those, which is not very attract them back. The debt book, the write-off of the debt book that is classified as recoverable to align with CIFA policy and IFRS 9. We have not done any write-offs as an entity, I think, in the past 3 years, give or take. And I think for all those books that we know that all the legal processes, we need to write them off and start chasing them off balance sheet. The cost income ratio, I spoke to it, and we've managed to contain it by actually enforcing and implementing cost containment measures. Human capital, Chair, I think the main issue here on board the committee history of our performance training started in 2012, and also where we're focusing really on the talent and workforce alignment. 2016-2020, we're looking at leadership, management, and alignment. 21 to 25, the plan is to look at high performance organization alignment. But as we move into the merger, Chair, that's the work that we need to restart. Merging three cultures or three different cultures from these three entities. And that work will have to restart as part of the merger process. But the key issue there really in human capital has been capacity challenge, where at least about 49% the last time I checked of our employees on contract now as a result of the arrangement that we have with short-term contracts. Chair, I will not bother the committee with the governance structure, the shareholder compact, the board, and everything else. Those are the ones that we present most every quarter when we present to this committee. The key organizational priorities. Looking at the mid-term expenditure framework, the pandemic has drastically altered the status quo, which subdued the economic growth, sluggish tax revenue collections, increase in business closures, and unemployment. Over the medium term expenditure framework, rather, over the MTF period, CIFA will improve the organization's performance and market position by focusing on the following areas. Building the core CIFA. I think this one, Chair, will be done in the context of the merger, because it can't be easy really working outside that framework. But the core business that we believe will still be there in the new entity, we need to build the core skills in that regard, or at least sustain the one we have until we get to the measure point. And scaling up of our abilities, the same approach, and innovating the delivery model. We're looking at a new tech-driven platforms take shape in CIFA's operations. The need to maintain the innovation momentum will be fundamental towards the tail end of the MTF. At this work, Mr. Mbatel, support me here. We're working closely with CIDA here to ensure that there's no duplication as we seek to automate our system there's alignment between SIDA and ourselves and Bob's bank. Chair, these are other what we call key priorities to enhance and sustain the performance, improvement of the quality of the book. One, implement tailored strategies for struggling clients, tighten credit card criteria, in particularly in direct lending, where we're seeing a decline in the book, repositioning our direct lending book. And some chair will tell you that in this space, you need to have at least 70% of a good book and 30% being that high-risk book if you are to be sustainable as an entity. And we want to test those theories and see if they can take us forward and sustain the organization. Human capitalization, consideration to recruit additional resources in our Port Elizabeth beds, I think is Mpumalanga and Free State offices, and also establish co-location with touch points at SIDA, mainly in KZN, the Pompo, the Free State, aligned to recruitment plan to capacity entity, and which is a very fast revolving door, but we're trying with our HR team to keep on bringing back the skills that we're losing. We're looking at working with the portfolio guided by the department to enhance communication and visibility by strengthening communication and provide visibility through integration in the portfolio, which is work in progress that we've started as a portfolio. And we also contribute really on the merger process by participating in the work streams and other governance structures. And compliance issues, looking at capacitating a cooler credit guarantee with quantitative analysts, but they will be servicing the whole of CIFA at these quants, looking at the ECL that we spoke about earlier on. To treat KBP as a subsidiary and not as a division, and I think also where we're providing funding to KCG, rather to KBP, KCG, we need to ensure that the recommendations of the auditors are also observed in that regard. The capitalization, CIFA, we're engaging the NT through the department, and also we're also using partnerships to leverage their balance sheets, but not in the private sector, to ensure that we spread our reach and impact that in that regard. So the rest really are the case studies of our good clients that we have funded as CIFA. And I'll stop there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, CEO. Working, let's go back to our agenda. I think the next agency is SIDA.
Yes, it's SIDA, Chairperson.
Yeah, over to you, Chairperson of SIDA.
Thank you very much, Chair. I hereby present our annual report. Our CEO will be presenting. Over to you, Mr. Mbatha.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, and Parking, please enable me.
Yes, you are, Mr. CEO.
Thank you. Kraken, is my document visible?
Yes, it is visible, but it's not in the this mode that should be slide show.
Oh, okay. Now fix that now. Let me just do that. So that I can present. Is it better, Parking?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will greetings to, I would like to first greet the Honorable Chair and other members, the Minister, DG, and the colleagues on the platform. I will be taking the committee through CEDA's performance for the 2022-23 financial year, or annual reports rather for the 2022-23 financial year. The presentation outline, I won't go into details, but this is the work that, in the interest of time, this is what I will be presenting today, starting from the whole organizational overview all the way to our PFMA compliance report. I would not get into the success stories, which is number 8, Chairperson, with your permission. Chairperson, this slide just deals with our vision, our mission, vision, and values, which has not changed, but shows that we are we have a mission to promote entrepreneurship and facilitate the development of small enterprises in the country by providing customized business support services, which is what we really strive to do on a daily basis. These are just our pillars. On this slide is mainly some of our products or services that we offer to clients. They range from entrepreneurship awareness to business setup training, business registrations, business setup advice through our business advisors, business planning, incubation, access to local and international markets, which talks about export opportunities that we do, access to technology via our TTA program, improved productivity and quality standards for our clients, business mentorship, business training, you know, facilitate access to finance, and so forth. And we do this, we categorize this according to the different SMMEs that we have. How do we deliver? We deliver all these services via our 53 branches that we have across the country and our 110 incubators that we have. We have actually increased our access points and also we have 57 co-locations with the our with CIFA, with the municipalities and so forth. And other private stakeholders that we have where we also are able to offer our services. We Chairperson and honorable members, we present then the performance for this year. We were, as an organization, we were tracking 22 indicators for the financial year, and we're able to achieve 100% or more on 19 of these indicators, reflecting a performance of 86% as shown by the Auditor General yesterday. I was confirmed by the Auditor General yesterday that we indeed we did achieve 86% in terms of the indicators that we have as an organization, which is which leaves us with only 14% that we are not able to achieve, and that 14%. is mainly made out of the following three indicators, which is the number of access points. We targeted 80, but we're not able to achieve that 80, but I will just talk to it in detail. And the number of SMEs and cooperative assets with the technology transfer, we're not able to also achieve that number for reasons that I will explain as well. And then the ecosystem development plan, which is one of the mandates that we have to enable the ecosystem. So we've been busy developing that plan, and I'll also explain how AG viewed the plan, because according to us, we had achieved, we had done the work was done, but from the plan point of view, AG had an issue, and I'll explain what the issues were. But this slide just highlights that we're able to achieve 86% performance as an organization. and we are looking forward to improving as well in the current financial year. Chairperson and honourable members, this is a summary slide of the work that we've done, which shows what we've been able to achieve. But I just wanted to take the committee through maybe the slide that has the reasons why we've been able to achieve, and the slide that doesn't, that shows also why we're not able to achieve some. So that I don't repeat myself. So I'll explain everything on that slide, Chairperson, if you may allow. Chairperson, this just, I'll take this as read. The next section two of the presentation as read, but it is our 2022-23 contribution to our MTSF targets. Is just the 1 year contribution in terms of what we're able to contribute this year towards the targets that we have, and probably highlighting one matter here that we are currently at 110 incubators, as the minister has explained, and we will be having 121 incubators by the end of the financial, of this current financial year. But the one reporting ended up with 110 incubators. And this just details the percentage of women businesses owned that will be able to contribute, which is 2,200, that we're able to touch base with in the current financial year, and 9,094 youth-owned businesses that we're also able to touch base with in the current financial year. We are still behind as far as the businesses owned by persons with disabilities, and we are working on a plan as a portfolio to improve on that. So as I said, Chairperson, I will request that I take that as read, and then I want to go into a bit of details here where we explain everything. So as CEDA, for the current financial year, we're tracking three programs. And I will start with program one and all the way to program three that we're tracking in terms of quarterly to get to the annual performance as per our APP. Program one is the township, rural, and informal businesses that we're able to support. This is dealing with where we find issues, indicators like entrepreneurship awareness, where we're able then, we had a target of 20, but we're able to reach out more to the SMEs to give them awareness on entrepreneurship and how to start businesses and what they need to have and compliance issues. And we're able to achieve that target through all our sessions that we had with our stakeholders. We're able to get to 68,117 on rural, touch on the rural base, township and rural base entrepreneur or businesses supported. We had a target of 16,000. We're able to reach out to 21,000. Township and rural businesses in terms of us being able to support them and for them to run their businesses, which we exceeded that target by 5,000. Incubators established, we had a target of 11, we're able to do 11, and these are the ones that would then be launched in the current financial year, but we're able to do that. On the access points, we're not able to achieve the access points. And Chairperson, the main reasons here, with a target of 8, we're able to do 40 as audited by AG. The main reason here is that this work, we do it via different partners. So we had to go on tender and so that we're able to attract the right partners in various rural and township areas. And these are partners that are already doing accounting, tax, and supporting SMEs in the different areas. And we're calling for them to be our extension to be able to offer the services of CEDA via those extension points, so that then our clients or SMEs don't have to travel long distances to try and find one of our 53 branches. So we were trying to, this is intended to make sure that our services are more visible and more closer. We then had a lot of delays from the procurement side, where in some areas we had to re-advertise, in some provinces we had to re-advertise twice or three times because we were not finding suitable service providers. But I must say, Chairperson, that at the end of September, we have signed with the whole 80 service providers, and now we are looking at branding, looking at procuring for branding for these access points, and also making sure that we train the service providers so
that stay aligned to what we do as CEDA. And I must say that this is where also on some of them already we are collocating with CIFA, and we're planning that in all of them, CIFA will also be present and will be able then to reach out to the township businesses that we need to, and roads that we need to reach out to, and be able to meet and exceed the targets that we have in this. And we believe that these access points are key in assisting us to achieve our township and rural businesses mandate as a portfolio at large, not just only as CEDA. And we're looking forward to see applications and flowing from these applications for funding for SMMEs, flowing from the access points to CIFA, and getting our SMMEs approved through CIFA. So we will be, so, and CIFA also will be doing training on these access points to make sure that everything is aligned, and that whatever is done there, then filters through, and the client, there's feedback to the clients as well that would have applied through these centers. Chairperson, the next one that we're not able to achieve is the ecosystem development plan. This is where we are developing a plan of how to put all stakeholders in one platform to make sure that there's alignment via the DTM model, and that between ourselves and all stakeholders involved in funding SMMEs, alignment, we avoid duplicates, but also SMMEs get to know where to go if they need particular services, and they can then be able to access the services online. This will be supported by the platform that the DG also spoke about, to make sure that we improve our access in terms of accessibility. The only issue here, the work was done according to our calculations, but it was an issue of just the plan itself, because we're able to do the work that we set to do for the whole year, but the AG found that they had an issue with just how the plan was developed, not the actual document. So then they reduced this to 6%, but we have moved in terms of doing everything that we needed to do, and we'll continue this work because this is important work. Chairperson, program two is business viability, business competitiveness and viability. This is where we're tracking access to local markets. We're able to achieve that and exceed the target. International market success business to participate in international markets, we're also able to exceed the target by 1,559. And in terms of incubation program, the minister did say that we did 2,507 incubators that were able to be supported through our incubation network. As an organization, Chairperson, we're not able to achieve the number of the indicator on the number of SMMEs and cooperatives assisted through the TTA program, which is our technology transfer assist program. That's what the TTA is. And this program is really meant to assist SMMEs with equipment so that then they can improve productivity, especially at an early stage of business. And the reason why we're not able to achieve this is because of budgetary constraints. We had worked on an average a request or an average grant per client, but when we got the application, the average value per application was higher than what we had budgeted for. But based on that, we couldn't as an organization say we're not approving these applications. So because of that, then we were only able to do 32 and finish the budget that we had. Because if a client asks for an equipment of 1 million, and there's no way you can then do half, you know, we have to give the client that equipment. But then we continue to try and prioritize this in the new financial year. But it was just more of a budgetary constraint from our side due to the larger values that were being applied for from our clients. And quality improvements, issues of issues like HASA and quality management controls, we continue to set our clients on that. And Chairperson, even on this slide, we continue to monitor the improvements in overall SMEs. We're able to do well, and then we're able to create 5,433 jobs and sustained 2,541 jobs through our interventions. Chairperson, the next one, this indicator, is about scaling up. We had
scale up, and we said we're targeting to at least assist 100 businesses to scale up. That is a high growth potential businesses. So we help them and make sure that they close market or they increase their sales, and we help them close the deals in terms of getting new markets and getting new equipment so that their businesses can grow. We're able to achieve that target and exceeded it by 87. And then mentorship and coaching has always been the core of CEDA, and we're able to then reach out and train at least 22,088 SMMEs during the current financial year via our network of 53 branches in 9 provinces, which is something that is doable. The next program, Chairperson Administration, I will not go into details because this is just more administration. We're able then to achieve our targets, including the employee performance, those employing, performing at least above 3.11, and we're able to get quite a big percentage of 83% in that category. Hence, the organization is able to perform at least to the what it needs to do at 86%. We need our employees to be performing at high levels. Chairperson, I will just leave it there for the performance achievement of 86%. But as I said, the few things that we're not able to achieve is what we are now working on, which is just 3 targets that we're moving with speed on them. So, Chairperson, on I would then maybe end here, and then the CFO would come in. But what I wanted to highlight is that from the budget that we have, 755 million that we got as CEDA, we're able to spend 954 million of that, just leaving us with 648,000 rand that we're not able to spend in the current financial year. So this is the second year in a row where we've been able to deliver and our in terms of our mandate to clients, but also spend the funds that we have. And as there was a history of underspending prior to the 2 years ago, and we have managed to make sure that service delivery to client is maintained at high levels, and we have been able to spend the funding that we have given. As you can see, even last year we only left with 5.2 million, but this year it was reduced that even better to 748,000 that we were not able to spend. But this is a breakdown of how we've been spending per programs, with the program one getting the most of the budget, 140 million, and program two getting the 218 million. And then administration at 195 million. So we are putting money into, we're allocating most of our funds into servicing the SMMEs in township and rural and informal markets. Then on governance, or maybe let me finish governance, and the CFO will come through your permission, Chairperson. This just talks about the board members and the board meetings that took place. That just shows that there is governance within the organization. We've got different committees from the board itself to the board subcommittees, including the audit committee, including nominations committee, SOPC committee, and REMCO. So there's various committees and incubation committee that took place. And this just shows how the members then attended the meetings, as you can see, that there is attendance in terms of the meetings by the different board members, which ensures that there is governance within the organization, and everything then works according to processes. Chair, we also just maybe on the board priorities, the board has really emphasized the issue of that the organization must have concrete plans for us to be able to offer services to the SMMEs, but also the board took time to visit, the board chairperson and some of the board members took time to visit all the provinces to make sure that there's an alignment between the work in the provinces and the work that is being done here at CEDA as a whole as part of their oversight role.
matters were raised, and then we were able to resolve to make sure that there is a huge alignment, because the issue is always that you find that SMEs complain at the ground level, and there is no oversight. But the board has done that, and to make sure that we're able then to fix what we need to fix and provide service to our client. The board also has dealt with the issue of digitalization, making sure that at CEDA we have systems that will help us to move the organization forward. Chairperson, with the triple BE, we had a strategy to get CEDA from a level 8 triple BE to a level 4, and we're able then to achieve that in the previous financial year through various activities, through also following the scorecard and offering bursaries and training to unemployed graduates and training to CEDA employees. We're able to fund 60 students with a number of 3.5 million to go to universities. And these are students that we are looking forward to employing as well as our graduates as we move forward, because we're trying to create a legacy project, but also to maintain a professionalism so that the guys that we are able to support, we are able also to employ as our employees.
Are you done, CEO?
Oh yeah, Chairperson. I would not touch. There was a voice. I thought the chair was talking, or the honourable member was talking. But on HR, we're able to be within the 7.5. I mean, we're able to be within the 10% achievement in terms of our vacancy rate. So I'm just trying to move as quickly as possible. And then maybe give the CFO an opportunity to deal with the financial information at high level, including the audit outcome for this year. Then we'll be done, Chairperson. Thanks. Through you, Chair, if the CFO could come in.
Thank you, CEO. CFO, take us through financial issues. Thanks, Sida, for your performance, more special. On spending, I believe you will improve during the coming year on the issue of alignment, because that's what is important. You must make sure that you do oversight on all those projects. We understand that you are understaffed, but try your best, because without you, the department and CIFA is nothing. So thank you so much for the annual performance report. Can we invite now the CFO to present the financial report? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to the Honorable Minister. Greetings to the Honorable Committee members, Board Chairpersons, and the colleagues on the online platform. I'll take you through the financial and the audit part of the presentations today. I'll start with the first slide, which is an analysis, the comparative of the budget versus the actual for the financial year 22-23. In terms of the total revenue, our final budget for the 22-23 was an amount of 955.2 million, as said. Then the actual achievement for the revenue, we have achieved an amount of 956.87 million, therefore exceeding the target by 0.17%, which is 1,666,000 in terms of the rand values. The overachievement of the total revenue are mainly from the earnings on the projects and the sundry income amounting to 1.67 million and 1.33 million respectively. Then on the expenditure side, the total operational budget for the financial year 22-23, we have a budget of 951.499 million, and the actual expenditure incurred for the same period. We have spent an operational expenditure, an amount of 951.17 million, that resulting in the 0.03% underspending, which is an amount of 332.877 rand. Then on the capital expenditure, we budgeted an amount of 3.7 million, and then we were able to spend an amount of 3,389,000, resulting in the underspending of 314,805 rand. Then for the total entity budget for the include the operational including the CAPEX, we budgeted an amount of 955.2 million, and we spent an amount of 954 million, which results in the underspending of our total overall of 0.07%. And then in terms of the rand, we did not spend 647,000. Then the total spending for the financial year is 99.93 in the 22-23, which is an improvement from what we spent last year. We've also spent an amount of 99.56% in 21-22. For the two consecutive years, we were able to spend all our budget. Then the next slide is the spending into geographical, our segment reporting, whereby we are categorizing our revenue and the expenditure into the provincial offices. For the year under that was reported, at a total amount of 735.6 million was utilized to deliver the services on the provincial network, which amount to 77.77%. Then it's important to note that the two provinces, which is the Eastern Cape and KZN, were allocated an additional budget of 60 million, which was once off for the implementation of the flood relief program in line with the flood disaster that was pronounced. Then the next slide is the statement of the financial position, which is our balance sheet. On this slide, we are indicating that the entity's financial position has declined from 273.49 million in 21-22 to 154.96 million in 22-23. And then the main reason for the decline is that all the liabilities that were carried over from financial year 21-22 were settled in 22-23. And CETA is a service-oriented entity. It utilizes all its budget year on year without accumulating the surplus, and this was achieved in the past 2 years. And then the total net asset deficit has improved from 13.37 million in 21-22 to the 7.66 million in the financial year 22-23. Then the next slide, Chair, we are reporting on the fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure. For the financial year 22-23, our total irregular expenditure is an amount of 551,880, consisting of the two amounts. There was no irregular expenditure in the comparative year, financial year 21-22. Then on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we have an amount of 16,000, which was incurred in the Western Cape through the transgression of the procurement process, and the remedial actions were taken on this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On the next slide, then I will detail the two irregular expenditure that were incurred in the financial year 22-23. The first one, Chair, relates to an expenditure that was incurred in the Northwest Province on the lease agreement. The branch has continued to occupy the office after the lease has expired, and then the payments were made, and then the total expenditure for this occupation of the office space by the branch amounted to 497,880 rand. There is no financial loss in this one, as the value for money was derived due to the branch occupying the office. However, as due to the expired of the lease agreement, it was then concluded to be a regular expenditure. The second one is the procurement irregularities at the Northern Cape province, whereby a purchase order was issued after the service was delivered. Then it's important to note, Chair, as presented by the Auditor General last year, that there's an amount of 4.9 million that is still in progress to be resolved. This is a matter relating to the 2015 financial year. The management is implementing the disciplinary process on this matter. We can move to next slide, CEO. Then the next part of the report is the compliance report, whereby we are reporting on the payment of the suppliers within the 30 days prescribed period. From the total of the 14,587 valid invoices that we have received, the 14,576 invoices were paid within the 30 days period, resulting in the 10 invoices paid after the 30 days period, and one invoice is under the dispute. Then the remedial actions were taken against the responsible officials who has caused these 10 invoices to be paid late. On overall, we have paid 99.96% of the total invoices within the 30 days regulated period. Then the next slide, we are reporting on the CITAS audit outcome for the financial year 22-23. The overall audit outcome of the CITA is the unqualified audit opinion. The audit comprises of the three components, with the first being the financial statement. With regards to the financial statements, we have been able to achieve the clean audit for the past 3 years, from 2021, 2022, and 2023, as shown with the sign that it remains unchanged. Then the second part of the audit or component of the audit is the audit of the annual performance report. Only one program was selected for CETA to be audited, which is Program 1, Township, Rural, and Informal Businesses. The outcome of the performance information is an improvement, as we have moved from the adverse audit opinion that we obtained in the financial year 21-22. Then on the third component of the audit is the compliance with the legislation. It has remained green on all the other subcategories as listed, including the first one being the AFS and annual report. We were able to comply with the legislation by submitting on time. And on the asset management, there was no issue find. Consequence management, expenditure management, liability management, revenue management, strategic planning, and the travel BEE. For the past 3 years, we have been able to comply with the legislation, and then that outcome of those components remain the clean audit. The next slide, Chair, is on the AG findings that we have. Our finding in this period, they are mainly relating to the performance information management. From the previous financial year, we received the same finding on the performance information. However, we were busy implementing the system, the client information and operation management system, whereby the client's information will be captured at the branch level to move away from the manual process that gives us the inconsistencies. And then in terms of the progress, the system has been piloted in some of the branches. And then in the third quarter of the 23-24, we will be fully using the new system that we have been developing, which is client information and the operation management system. Then the other part of the finding relates to the APP, which is the finding was on the usefulness and the reliability. The management has reviewed the APP definitions and the method of calculation to ensure that all the indicators are well-defined and are reliable. And then the last finding was on the incubation on the MOA. The MOA has since been reviewed. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. Through you, we have come to an end of our presentation. The rest is just success stories. I just wanted to clarify that 2015 matter that AT spoke about yesterday, that at CEDA, no matter how old the matter is, if there is any report that says there was an issue at that particular time, as we received that notification around 2021 financial year, we're then able to go back to 2015 and investigate the matter. And as a result, yes, we know that our challenge of not finalizing that some of the employees that were involved in it in 2015 left the organization a long time ago, except for one employee that is still within the organization. And because there was only one employee left, there was then an issue of us being interdicted, a hearing taken to the CCMA, but we are poised to finalize the disciplinary hearing. We are resuming again next week so that we are able to finalize this matter and get it done. That's where AG was coming from as far as what they were presenting yesterday. It's not a current issue, but it's an old matter that we're looking at. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, CEO. We trust that the matter will be concluded, also to gain confidence to our people and also to condemn issues of corruption and fraud that were really against it. So we'll appreciate that. Although in future, we need to make sure that where there are issues are being, we find ourselves in a position to can conclude those issues so that remedial action be done, and also to indicate to our people that were hard at work, we condemn such behavior. So we really appreciate. Thanks for the presentation. At this stage, I will invite honorable members to engage with the three reports. Braking, you'll assist me to identify hands. Thank you.
Chairperson, Honorable Lubengo has raised the hand. So far. Honorable Zungula, Honorable Tromelang, Honorable Mene.
I now invite Honorable Lubengo.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome all the presentation. Chairperson, my question is directed to the department. There is an echo, Chairperson. I don't know where does it comes from. My question directed to the department of to the department. Phase 5 on SM SMME's database, the department indicated that the small enterprises credit scoring and rating system to facilitate access to finance was not implemented. So we need to know why was not implemented. How will they be able to measure their credit scoring and rating system? Chairperson, the other question is, how is the department assisting? Sorry? The other question is, what progress has the SME sector made towards achieving the NDP target of 9.9 new jobs by 2030? What is the likelihood of meeting this goal, and what role can the department play in accelerating efforts towards achieving this goal? The second last question, Chairperson, what is the latest on the business amendment bill proposed, and in detail, what are the changes that were approved by ESCO? The last question, Chairperson, is that the department refurbished or built two business infrastructure for SMEs and cooperatives against a target of 6 to date. What progress has the department made in this regard? Could the department provide evidence of the build of or refurbished business infrastructure before and after picture of the infrastructure? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lurwengo. Honorable Zungula, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the members, the minister, and the department and entities. Chair, let me start with the welcoming of the presentations. Perhaps, Chair, maybe my starting point will be regarding how all issues concerning the compliance of businesses to labor-related matters, the Department of Employment and Labor has got mechanisms to ensure that indeed does happen. So I would want to find out, Chair, when it comes to small businesses and the enforcement or any mechanism to ensure compliance, where is the department in terms of its planning? In the previous engagements, the minister did indicate that there is the inspectors that are planned that will do the inspections, just like in employment and labor, we've got inspections. So I would want to find out, where is the department on that? Secondly, Chair, as the previous honorable member stated, the importance of the small business in terms of the creation of jobs. I would want to find out, given the target of the NDP, practically speaking, can that be realized without, number one, having a clear process of ensuring that invoices of SMMEs are actually paid on time? And where is the department in terms of, pushing the respective departments? It's well and good for the department itself to pay invoices of SMMEs in time or within 30 days, etc. But without having a systematic approach whereby all state institutions are somewhat pushed by the department, because it won't help for the department to assist on one side when it comes to the funding. But this Achilles heel that is killing small businesses, which is the late payment of invoices, the department equally is not aggressive in resolving that. And linked to that, it is a question of the access to the market. Where is the department in terms of agitating or pushing for the state institutions to procure at least a certain percentage of their goods and services from SMMEs, because if SMMEs do not have access to market, then all of this funding, you know, it's going to be difficult to sustain, because they will not have anything to live by. So those were the few contributions from my side. I thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Zungula. The next speaker on my list is Honorable Somelang.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, thank you, Chair. I hope I'm audible, Chair.
And you are.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to my colleagues and the officials, Chairperson, everybody on this platform. Let me also join the queue in welcoming all the presentation that has been made before us. Chair, I just want to start with the department, Chairperson. My first question will be, I've realized through the presentation that the department obtained a commendable clean audit outcome. However, I just want to understand what is the root cause of the regression in the department's performance against the set targets, from the 60% in the previous year to 56% in the year under review. My other question, Chairperson, will be, could the department please expand on the inadequate controls that were identified by the AG on the indicator, especially on number of women-owned businesses? My other question, Chairperson, will be, I just want to check also the turnaround times on SCM processes, business registration, licenses, and permits. How are they managing the informal trading, especially on the infrastructure part of it? Let me go to my last question, Chef. No, not my last question. I also want to check, how is the department assisting SIPA to contain staff turnaround rate and ensure that services to clients are not compromised due to the measure? Let me go to the two entities, Chairperson. Let me go to the two entities. I also want to welcome the presentation and indicate that, Chair, I've been listening attentively through all the discussions, I mean the presentation, and I've realized that we are still experiencing challenges, especially on the impact of the targets. But my question, Chairperson, if I go straight to the question, is what is the impact of the target on the consolidation of the report on 25,000 competitive SMMEs and cooperatives supported on the operations of the department? In the previous financial year, the department rolled out the red tape reduction plan to three districts, of which we are appreciating it. What progress have the districts made in relation to the key red tape issues, such as the following: one, effectiveness of complaints, notification systems from registration to resolution, municipal building plan approval processes, and land development, as well as zoning processes. Turnaround time on SCM processes, business registration, license, and permit. Chairperson, that is all that I wanted to understand. What is it that the department is doing in order to address the said questions and the two entities, as I've already asked, Chair? For now, I think it's all. If I have something, Chairperson, I'll request that I be allowed to come in again. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Somelang. The next speaker is Honorable Meehan. Over to you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to the Minister, Honorable members, and the departmental colleagues. Got only three questions, if I'm not mistaken. The first question, Honorable Chair, is that what is the department position on the competition between CETA and the ITC in the SME finance sector? The second question is, how has the department
been impacted by the failure to ask for approval of two monitoring reports on the incubation support program improvement plan. Then lastly, exactly what kind of financial and non-financial support did the department give to cooperatives? What was the value of the financial support? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mian. Brakeem, do you still have any other hands?
Yes, Chairperson, there's Honorable April.
Yes, only.
Thank you.
So far, Chair.
Yes, Honorable. Okay. Honorable April.
Sorry, Chairperson. I'm standing in the wind because network is down in my area, so I had to travel somewhere to come and ask my question. So I will not even open my screen. But let me take this opportunity to thank the department and the entities for the presentations. I've got a couple of questions that I want to ask. The first one goes to the department. I want to say that during COVID-19, it came with a lot of uncertainty in the economy, but the department managed to achieve the highest score of 86% during COVID. But for the year under review, the department had 25 output performance indicators and managed 14 or 56% of its set targets, and 44% of the targets were not achieved. Can you please elaborate on this? As one might expect a high score when we are not in COVID-19, and then now during this period, the score is so low. Secondly, it would be very difficult for SMEs to develop without the growth and sustainable development in the sector and market development areas. What are the leading components for the department to lack in this area, as it shows that only 33% was achieved of the prescribed targets? And what is the plan to improve this? That was very important for me, Chair. I also want to check with the department, what steps did the department take to improve the plight of SMEs and other enterprises that were owed 6.1 billion by provincial and national department at the end of March 2022. Chairperson, I further want to ask, what is the impact of the target on consolidation of the report on 25,000 competitive SMEs and cooperatives supported on the operations of the department? I know that I may be asking a lot of questions, but we did take some time to listen. So another question is, could the department provide a detailed update on progress made by the change management team that is responsible for the merger, particularly in the integration of personnel? How far did the department come from concluding the merger? When will we really see this merger happen? Will it happen now? Will it happen in our term? Will it happen in the next term? Give us some feedback and update with regards to this. Chairperson, I would also like to come to CIDA and CIFA. Just give me a second there. I want to check the effectiveness of the TTA program after equipment has been procured. Does CIDA track the progress of enterprises that have been supported through the TTA program? If so, what are the findings and observations after 2 years of support? And of the number supporters, what is the success rate after 5 years? And lastly, what I want to check is the current year, this TTA, has it been rolled out? Is it or is the fund still stuck nationally, or is the funds in provinces? Because it seems like the rollout of the TTA program is currently very, very slow. We want to have an update on that. I thank you. I'll have another bite if needs be. Thanks, Chairperson.
Yes, you're right, Honorable Member. You are doing oversight, and I'm happy if Honorable Members are active like you are doing. It really shows commitment. That really makes me happy. Do we still have any other hand, Brakeem, so that I may allow the department and the agencies to respond on those questions?
Yes, Chairperson, there's a hand from Honorable Babalwa. I mean Honorable Matulelwa. And then I see the hand of Honorable Tromelang. I don't know what is a legacy hand or she raised
no.
for the
second. So you say it's not a legacy hand. There are two questions that I left.
Okay. I will give you opportunity after Honorable Matulelwa. Honorable Matulelwa, the stage is yours, my dear.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to honorable members and all the departments. My questions are going straightforward to the department. Firstly, we've been asking for this department to go back to the trading industry because of many things that we've observed that it's failing our people, our small businesses. More especially, we cannot trust such a department that has got a minister who is not even willing to address the issue of using Wednesdays as our days of meetings for accountability. We need her every time in our meeting, but she chooses the day this day for her to give us an apology to say who is attending to cabinet what. So it's very it shows us as her we've been asking questions even in writing where we should we were asking as her being in this department, is there any company or any small business that she has established, maybe at home in her constituency, the answer was none. So as a non-starter, it shows us that there is no need for small business to stand as a department alone because of many observations, such as the one that I've just mentioned. Number two, what is the use? Yes, I've been listening to all these reports. What is the use of getting reports in writing? As we've been raising this issue of reports in writing, yes, you will give us a so nice report, but practically they are not the true reflection of what is happening on the ground. Without evidence that is accompanied by the detailed names of beneficiaries, these reports are just singing. You are not different from the artists that are singing because there's no evidence. We know that in this department it happened in Mount Freya. It happened that we grabbed this the ghost beneficiaries in this department that were named, and we were told that this percentage was given. And then when we go deeper for the oversight, we found out that there were ghosts. Even in Northwest, when we were there as the portfolio committee, we saw some of the non-trackable the beneficiaries where we were going in old buildings that were showing that there was no business, such businesses as it was written down. So there's no use of receiving reports in writing without a simple thing of giving us the names of beneficiaries, even if you don't go deeper to give us IDs and what, but the street address or the address and the name of the what is so difficult to give us the beneficiaries, because what our work is to do oversight and make sure that these taxpayers' monies, they go in rightful hands, as we are accountable also for those small businesses. So my last input, Chair, is on, it's not only the input, it's a question to see if the one that is failing us this money everywhere we go. So I just wanted to ask CIFA, do CIFA think is fit enough to again be given taxpayers' money after many indications of incompetence proven by oversight and all of our meetings we've been proving them that they are failing? Do they think they are fit enough to get another budget or another money from the taxpayers to again do what they are always doing? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matulelo. The next speaker is Honorable Somelang, who's saying she still have got questions. I will allow her, but honorable members, I'm respecting all of us to comment, but at the same time, the rights of doing oversight, I think we've got that authority to can guide too, because we are the ones who are here on behalf of the society. So the three reports is a reflection of what transpired in terms of targets and budgets and audit outcomes. I would appreciate at the same time if members can also comment on the achievements and guide where we feel is our right to guide, where we feel there have been weaknesses, and come up with some recommendations that we are recommending that you do this and this. For example, yesterday we received the report from the Auditor General where there have been recommendations, root causes, as well as action to be done. It's our responsibility to make sure that those actions are being done by the department, and that's how oversight should unfold. So I'm requesting that we assist the department in this regard. And then on the issue of the minister, I won't comment, but I believe we dealt with this matter. So it is good sometimes to make sure that when we have been given the opportunity to address certain things, let's deal with them there and there. And then if there are some follow-ups, we've got the right to do it in writing. But for today, I'm appealing, let's guide where we feel we need to guide, and let's appreciate where appreciation needs to be done. It's also encouraging. We are dealing with humans. We are humans, all of us, and I will appreciate, because we are building the department as well as the comrades into that particular institution. Honorable Somelang, can you come in so that I allow the department as well as the agencies to respond into all questions and comments? The comments can't be responded to. They are building advices, in fact. Over to you, Honorable Somelang.
Chair, before Honorable Somelang, can you recognize Honorable Jacobs? He has also raised his hand.
Okay, Honorable Jacobs, you will come after Honorable Somelang. Thank you.
Okay, Chair, let me conclude what I have started earlier on. My apologies that I had to come back. But Chair, I've realized that there was a challenge in terms of the challenges that were identified, and as well as plans to deal with those challenges. But my interest was in the CEDA, where I wanted to check what is the main challenge that affects informal businesses in township and rural-based communities to not be able to compete with urban-based informal businesses, Chair. As you have correctly said, Chair, that we need to come up with suggestions. I think we, for now, one will not be able to do that, but my I think that it will be the right direction that we'll have to follow in future. And if we have something, we can still submit to the secretary of the committee so that our inputs are also considered. My other question is that, Chair, can we have a clear quantitative analysis provided on the cooperatives, how they have gained market, of which is one of the achievements, market share to be able to compete in the local and international market, so that we can
improve where necessary, Chair? That is the two questions that I think I could not ask earlier on, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tamela. Honorable Jacobs, the stage is yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings again to all the colleagues and everyone on the platform. I also want to start by just commending the leadership of our minister and the department, the DG, and the entities. I think whilst we raise a lot of the challenges, we tend to forget the important role that this department is playing to provide support to small business. I just got this one stat. So since the financial year of 2019 to date, SIFA has disbursed almost 7.7 billion rand to almost 300,000 SMMEs, which is the majority of them is informal business, micro enterprises, and township and rural-based businesses. I mean, so that is a massive achievement alone, Jay. Even though we as members, we focused a lot of the questions on the challenges, I think we must just let that sink in, that without the role of this caring government and with this department, small businesses, especially black businesses, wouldn't have been given a hand up. You know, there's about more than 18 million South Africans on the welfare. I mean, the stats is clear. But we're also saying that we want to create an entrepreneurial society. And without this entity, and despite the work that they have done, the challenges, I think we need to commend them. There's no regression in the audit outcomes. But I think what we want is just constant improvement. So the questions that we ask is also geared towards that constructive criticism that Minister spoke about. So that's our role. But we also need to pat them on the back. And so I want to start there by patting the Minister and her team. Well done on a great job for this financial year and all of your performance indicators. And Minister is quite correct. The performance indicators doesn't do justice to the hard work. She goes out, she touches the length and breadth of our country. Every week she's in a different township. Every week she's in a different area. And so I don't agree to say that this there's no use for this department and its entities. I think there is room for improvement. There's room for coordination. And I think that's the key thing that we want to ensure. So, Chair, here's some of my questions quickly. I think there is some slight challenges around the IDC and SIFA. And I think we need to get the IDC to come to our entity, and maybe we must do a joint thing with the Department of Trade and Industry. You just look at the role that IDC is playing, because the IDC is also in the same space that CIFA is playing. And I think we need to just get a briefing on what's happening and why is there that oversight. I mean, we have a township and rural program. But I think IDC also has a township program that's mainly Gauteng based. So we want to understand why is there the duplication, and if the ministers are coordinating the efforts to maximize and leverage each other's best practices. I think that for me is a key thing. If we in CIFA is doing something really great, let's leverage that and vice versa. And we don't like this thing where people do scope creep or turf creep, and so that's something that we need to just sort out. I think the point around National Treasury did not give condonement for the irregular expenditure. I think what was the reason and what are the implications for this, and what steps did the board take for this irregular expenditure? I think the one thing also I want to ask is the recommendations of the 27 forensic firm of panels, and the consequences if the department or the entities can just focus on giving us feedback on the ongoing consequence management in relation to these investigations that the panel has done. I also spoke about the IDC and in the SMME township market. They have the Township Economy Partnership Fund. And we have a TREP fund. So what is the difference? Is there synergies between those? Let me pause there, but again, let me compliment the team for a job well done. Ours is always just to ensure that we push you a bit harder. We push, but we must also find a balance to also acknowledged work. I don't share the view that from our honourable member in the portfolio that there must be there's no purpose for small business. They play a very important integral role, and it's part of our agenda to create a shared and inclusive economy, so that all of us, including the historically disadvantaged, can be part of increased economic participation. Chair. So for that, I want to thank the minister and the team. Well done.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. I would now invite the department and the agencies to respond to questions and also echo the very same sentiments with honorable members who really appreciate and applaud the department for the good work, especially the minister, the roadshows she has made with the DM and the department. It really encourages all of us. So we are saying keep doing the right thing. That spirit is reviving. And we really understand the issue of regression from CIFA, because the CEO and the CFO outlined clearly on the impact, negative impact made by the load shedding. But we appreciate that you are coming up with some turnaround strategy on how to improve to make sure that money is coming back to the department so that we can be able to assist others. So we really appreciate that you are saying you are not condoning any payment, but you are extending a period that when things goes well, for example, if we may be able to deal with the issue of load shedding, which is really troubling our small businesses, you will go back to your initial position. You compared it with the past 3 years. So we understand that, but try to make sure that all recommendations by the Auditor General are being adhered to, more especially controlling the issue of loans. So we believe and trust that what you are presenting to us today is what you will be going moving forward, implement, so that our people are being assisted. We don't want them to remain being small businesses. We want them to grow. So I'm now inviting the department under the leadership of the DG. I don't know whether the minister is back or not, but DG, you may start and then your agencies will follow. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the questions. The DGs are here in case there are questions that we have left out, and they will be able to then assist accordingly, but very short answers, but also precise. But again, let me just welcome the comments regarding the work that we are doing and that it is appreciated. There was an issue regarding the regression, if I start at a high level. And from my observation, again, as a new or not so new person, I think one of those issues was the issue of ASLA, that I spoke about, the issue of the vacancy rate, which is something that I've said we are working on so that we can be able to then deal with all these matters and that are making us to have regress. Because once we are fully staffed, we were nearly disturbed by the letter of Treasury of the cost containment, because that was going to make us not to be able to fill all the positions. And but now, because all the critical positions they are allowing us to fill, we will be able to work on these particular matters. And on the issue of the merger, again, I know DG Mohoto will want to touch on that. We have actually moved. We have moved, and the target date is the end of March 2023. But we have already started working together, and there are different work streams, about 7 of them in the different areas where we are starting to work together to make sure that by the time the legislative process is finalized, already there is a seamless process that has actually taken place. On the issue of, but there is something else, a comment that I would also want to make in one of the questions that was asked, to say again, it is a fact that about 7 million of the 15.6 people in South Africa are employed by SMMEs or self-employed. And one notice that this is a growing as an overall percentage of all employed persons. But again, I know that we need much more scale of support to align with the NDP target. Also positive is also South Africa is becoming more entrepreneurial, and it is a fact that we cannot deny. And also, as I was looking at the GEM report, I was encouraged to see that we had 1 million entrepreneurs in 2001, and we now have just under 4 million entrepreneurs. So the data itself is actually showing, and numbers don't lie, data is showing that there is a positive trend in this particular space. There was a question on compliance. If I understood the question very well, is that what is it that you are doing? And that minister commented about the issue of inspectors. And again, on that one, I must comment that we are working with SALGA and COCTA and also municipalities on business licensing. Also, new business licensing, the new business licensing amendment bill will also give the department more authority to streamline business licensing and enforcement. And hence, we are pushing for that to be able to have that power and that leverage. And on issue of the access to markets, yes, we are doing a lot as a department in terms of export support, focusing on BRICS, ACFTA, ESD partnership with corporate transforming supply chain partnership, with also a proudly South Africa, which is something that we are currently busy with at the moment. So all those are the good stories to tell. And in terms of the issue of the phase five, it was finalized phase four, but again, there was an issue of the funding. And I know that Ms. Mbatha will maybe quickly expand on that particular one. And on the business amendment bill, how far we are, we have received a comment just yesterday from the Stoat Leo advisor, the OFLA, and we are looking into that to then be able to respond and see that how we can, as a department, respond and meet our time frames accordingly, because this is very important for us to be able to do the work that we do. But I think maybe let me allow in less than a minute DDG Mujalifa to also comment, and followed by Bali and Ms. Vincent. DDG Mujalifa, through you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks very much, DG. And I think indeed you have covered me in terms of the measure, but just to indicate that everything I think is hinges on the finalization of legislation. There's a process work that we're doing with the entities so that we can finalize some of the areas through our work streams. However, we really have to push the issue of the legislation going forward, because once we actually pass the legislation, it will enable everything really to fall into place. And then on the issue of the question of the infrastructure target against 6, this is one of those targets that really we are reviewing because of the time lag in terms of the building of these infrastructures across the provinces. And there was a delay in terms of other infrastructures, but there's a progress that has been made during the reporting period. I think that actually gave us the data for this annual report. There was a delay in finalization. Some of the infrastructure that were built were actually half done, and some were actually close to finish. So there's quite some progress that has been made there in that front. And then maybe touching on a few questions that I want to. I think the issue of the change management, I think DG has indicated, I think is one of the work streams that we have in terms of the measure that is looking at the change management. I think colleagues will be able to to find a way of engaging with the staff itself and also change management processes so that we can be able to have a smooth transition in terms of this measure. I'm just looking around in terms of what GG didn't cover in terms of the questions that I had. DJ, I'm not sure if there's anything I'm leaving, but I think I'm covered what you wanted me to cover. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Through you, Chair, Ms. Mbata. Mbali, please unmute. We will take Ms. Vincent. Apologies, Chair, Ms. Vincent. I don't know if I'm not audible, but DTG Makele.
Thank you, DG. I think from my side, and good afternoon, members. From my side, what I picked up is on the rollout of the red tape reduction program. I think it's Honorable Kamela was asking about the effectiveness of the program itself. The department is currently looking into exactly that, measuring the effect of the work that they have put in so far. I think over the past two administrations, there's been a lot of work that has been put into red tape awareness. That work is still continuing. However, we're looking at ways of integrating the awareness and setting up the administration such that we are able to collect baseline information on where they currently sit and indicators that will tell us how to monitor and how to measure the effectiveness of the program itself. That work has already started with the pilot administration support program, which is the PASP. It's another component of the red tape reduction program that will start looking at how do we on an ICT platform, collect information on when municipalities are sitting in terms of administrative effectiveness that relates to business licensing, 30-day repayments, and so forth, so that we can sort of set up a program that will look into monitoring and being able to report credibly on the effectiveness of the program. We've also put in place a project that to sort of advance that conversation on the effectiveness. Put in a program to review 21 of the programs of the DSBD and its entities to see how we can set up indicators that are smart in order to allow us to sort of see what the real effect of all our programs are. And the red tape reduction is one of the key areas we would like to focus on for the coming financial year and the next administration. So we're moving from the awareness. We are not getting rid of the awareness. We're still keeping it. But we're also increasing and extending it to start doing the actual monitoring of the impact. Taking into consideration also that in terms of implementation, there's only so much that as DSBD you can do. And going forward, we will need municipal buy-in and political commitment to actually help us push the whole red tape reduction program within the municipalities. I think from my side, DG, that's all I had on the red tape reduction on the business licensing bill. I think you've provided feedback on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. There was an issue on women-owned business. Zandile.
Thank you, ADG.
DG, excuse me, Zandile. Can you also recognize the DTG Mahoto? Yes, his hand is up. Thank you.
Oh, apologies, I didn't see it.
And Ms. Vincent has also raised her hand.
Is it possible for us to take Zandile as I was allowing them to respond because the other ones are coming back?